Hi guys, it's Mahati here and welcome back to the podcast. Today I'm here with a very good friend of mine, Thea Chim, who is part of the nonprofit Empiric. So hi Thea, it's good to have
Mahati.
You here. So to start off, could you tell me a little bit about your nonprofit?
Yeah, so Empiric is a free, not tutoring program. We like to think of it as an enrichment program for people in grades 7 through 12. The reason why it's from 7 to 12 is because we want those who are still in middle school to have exposure to these topics before taking them, because most likely you'd be taking the topics we offer in high school. And for those in high school, we want to offer them to, you know, the high school students, because either one, they might need help getting exposure to another area of science, or two, I mean that they might be just taking the class the following year. So yeah, it benefits them both either way.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned topics and mainly like science topics. So do you want to elaborate a bit more on what those topics are?
So the topics we offer are chemistry, physics, engineering, biology, and computer science, which are all very, they're all the foundations for the sciences and the jobs that are offered today, which is why since they're the foundations, that's why we wanted to, you know, have those classes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys started, I believe, in July, right?
Yes.
So how have your classes been going since then?
So we've gotten a lot of positive feedback, especially from our guest speakers who have spoken in our classes. So another part of Empiric is not only do you get the enrichment, but you also get guest speakers who come in from different universities talking about their experience with that area and the jobs that are offered. And this is very beneficial, especially because I don't think if you're in biology, you wouldn't necessarily think of neuroscience, right? But we had someone who was in neuroscience come in and talk, and without a doubt, I feel like someone might have been so interested that they ended up researching about neuroscience right after the class.
Mm-hmm.
And overall from the students, we have a feedback form in every class for the students to fill out right after the class.
Yep.
And so far we've been getting very positive responses as well as constructive criticism, which is going great. And when connecting with the teachers, like personally, I can tell that the teachers are actually taking the criticism into account and bettering their classes for the next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So about the teachers, who are they? And like, I know that you started this nonprofit with a group. So why this group of people? Like, who are the teachers and why have you all chosen to work together?
So originally this started out with me alone, and because I feel like you have to take action yourself before bringing other people in, or else you guys would just procrastinate on the idea. I don't know. I'm talking from experience. So I started this myself. I found out what classes we were going to take, made the website, reached out to multiple schools first, and I was like, oh wait, this is like a bit hard. So I brought in two of my very close friends, V-Fan and Stephanie Tranduk, who are all very great students. Not only are they great, but their personalities are just amazing. They came in and I offered this idea, and they were like, hey, we actually agree that certain areas would, you know, need more STEM outreach because, you know, we have places like Dorchester in Boston who is basically underfunded. And we could say that, we could say the same for multiple neighborhoods, right? So they agreed with what I was trying to go for, and I made them co-founders because without them, I don't think I would have reached out to more than 100 schools myself. We reached out to more than 5 districts as well. Mm-hmm. As for the teachers, Edward Yan teaches CompSci. David Choi teaches physics. Stephanie and V both teach biology. Ariel Uribe teaches engineering, and Shengen He teaches chemistry.
So, do you think that, well, first, how did you, like, know the, did you know the teachers before?
Out of everyone we reached out to, I only knew about 3 or 4 teachers. And from those teachers, I think only 2 responded.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, from what I can tell, it's going very well for you guys. And especially, like, having, like, a group of people that you're comfortable with who, like, helped you through it. So, like,
I mean, obviously, you were one of, like, our marketing people.
Which kind of happened as a complete accident, but...
Oh, my God. Hey, you have to give yourself credit. That advertisement was amazing.
Thank you. Okay, so moving more towards the nonprofit aspect rather than what the nonprofit actually is, why did you start the organization? I know you kind of mentioned that, like, some schools are underfunded, but what was, like, your reason for starting it alone at first?
The reason why I started it was because I heard that a lot of my classmates were starting up tutoring programs. Mm-hmm. And I realized that all of these programs had one thing in common. It was one-on-one tutoring on an academic subject, which mm-hmm. is amazing. But for me personally, now that I'm into STEM, I want to major in CS for my undergrad, or I plan on majoring in CS, computer science, sorry. I don't think I would have been here had it not been for some exposure to computer science, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would have gotten much more of a leverage had I been exposed to it much earlier. I was exposed to computer science the summer of 10th grade. And mm-hmm. although that still seems like early, I feel like I would have been more successful in my projects as well as my classes had I been exposed to CompSci maybe a bit earlier, maybe in middle school. Mm-hmm. And I don't want other people to go through that. You know, you find a passion, but at the time you find it, you don't know enough to take initiative. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I want these kids, we're talking about middle school kids, of course, like high school, but with high school kids, they already know their path of it.
Yeah.
But of course, we're going to include them. I want them to be exposed to an area without any, like, binding. Because, you know, like, in school, if you sign up for chem, you have to stay in chem, right? Mm-hmm. What I wanted to do for this nonprofit was have you just join a class and have you stick through the class and see if this is something you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And again, the nonprofit comes in because we had this program geared towards people who are underfunded because, you know, I came from a school that did not have any STEM enrichment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a STEM class that talked on PowerPoints, but I don't, that's not very beneficial to me. Mm-hmm. But the main aspects I wanted to hit was students who were disadvantaged in terms of both financially and just like and in the education field. Does that make sense? I hope it does.
Yeah, I think it does. It was more like, from what I can tell, was like you wanted the younger kids to have an exposure, because I feel like middle school is the time when you have time to try different things because you don't have like too much homework or too many like extracurriculars.
Yeah.
So I think
I
think it's really good that you're doing this, because I wish that I had had some exposure in middle school. Like, I think I did a 1 week camp in seventh grade, but I don't remember any of that.
Oh my God. I understand you. I brought this up already, but a personal reason that I wanted to start this was because I myself didn't have this exposure. And, you know, I don't want kids going through that. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, this is 2020. We're not getting any younger. Might as well make a change.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you spoke on this a bit before with like the difference between your organization and other tutoring organizations. But one, have you seen any organizations like yours? And two, what differentiates your organization from those other organizations?
So far, I have not seen an organization like Empiric. All of them around me are just one-on-one tutoring.
Yeah.
And it's solely tutoring on just your core academics, just math, ELA, or I guess language. With Empiric, this is only STEM. We recruit kids who are interested in STEM, because I feel like, you know, every school has English, has math, right? Mm-hmm. Probably has a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the science classes in schools is the most underfunded class there is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Empiric focuses on it just to, I guess, mitigate that factor of how underfunded it is. The difference between Empiric and other organizations is, one, the obvious one, we're a STEM enrichment program.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we have guest speakers for most classes coming in to talk about their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want our students to actually hear from a professional. Like, yeah, they're hearing from high school kids who understand them, but I don't think it'd be very beneficial if you just heard from them and not from someone who went through years of education that was focused on the foundation of their class.
Mm-hmm.
Another factor that makes us different from other organizations is that we are actively trying to find our students different internships. So mm-hmm. on our website, there is an internships tab, or a what we offers tab. And one of the things we offer are internships, because right after Empiric, right, there's not a guarantee that you're going to continue whatever you learned the next year.
Mm-hmm.
So the point of our internships is to get you to use the knowledge you've learned, okay? You might not use it directly, but there is a chance you will be using it indirectly. Mm-hmm. You will be using the knowledge you've learned and putting it towards the internships that we find for you. And the internships are based off of what classes you took. And the survey that is going to be sent out is getting to know the person, so that we can pick out pick out two or three internships that we find are great for you.
That's really cool. I mean, it's like just customized internships.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving like deeper into your experience starting the nonprofit/organization, can you walk me through like how you started it, like from like the idea formulation to like getting it off the ground?
Okay, this might be a little messy, so try and try and stick along. So I found out, like from day one, how this all started, I found out that a lot of kids were doing tutoring programs, right? And although I wanted to start up something of my own, I think having another tutoring program would be repetitive, you know? Like, we already have four, why do we need a fifth? And how, like, how easy would it be to make it different from the others, you know? It won't be easy at all, which is why I didn't go down that route. Instead, I thought about something that connected to me. You know, tutoring is something that anyone can take on. But what is something I can do that actually, what would 10th grade Thea, no, not 10th grade, 10-year-old Thea, or however old you are in 7th grade, like 12? How would 12th grade Thea benefit? Mm-hmm. And knowing that I am interested in STEM right now, I was like, hey, I actually want to start up a science nonprofit, anything related to science. And from that, I stuck to the idea because, again, STEM, I have a personal connection with STEM. I'm very passionate about it. And I kept on with the idea, but I didn't know it was going to be a tutoring service. No, not a tutoring, but like enrichment service.
Yeah.
The enrichment part came in when I tested out different ideas. So by that, I mean like selling some STEM stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously I can't. We were in quarantine. I don't think I'd be able to have anything ship as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So that was off the table. I started thinking about who I could involve, and the people that I could have involved are all very, like, very good students in their STEM classes, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, hey, you know, instead of tutoring, let it be, like, enrichment. I know that these people have the ability to teach what they know. I know that they're confident in what they know. Why not bring them in? So I reached out to three people, Edward, Stephanie, and V. I reached out to them first, and surprisingly, they were all on board. And keep in mind, I didn't even get the website up, but mm-hmm. they were all like, sure, I'm going to join. And I was confident from there because I know three of them are very respectable mm-hmm. in their courses, right? Yes. So when I solidified the fact that I had three people already mm-hmm. On board, I decided to make the website.
Yeah.
So as for the name Empiric, that was not our first choice. We actually had a hard time finding our name. How we found Empiric was we searched up science synonyms. We found Empiric. And we were like, wait, that has like a ring to it. Like mm-hmm. Empiric. Like, imagine studying at Empiric. That is, like, I teach at Empiric. Everyone liked the name, so we went with that, okay? Mm-hmm. I think one of our first names was something along the lines of Prestigious Minds, and that sounds so pretentious. I'm so glad we didn't go with that, because Empiric is, like...
It works.
It works. It has a ring to it. But yeah, we came up with the domain name Empirical Study because, you know, you can turn it into an adjective and we were like, hey, you're studying this topic. Yay. So we came up with empiricalstudy.org and I worked on the website and I did some outreach myself. Mm-hmm. Originally, I thought this was going to be a one-man show for me until, again, like I've mentioned earlier, I didn't think I would be able to take on these tasks alone. Mm-hmm. So knowing that V and Stephanie, I didn't know what their schedules were like. So I like reached out to them and I was like, hey, would you guys mind helping me? And they were like, of course, we'd love to. Little did I know, they were so involved, right? So every day they was checking emails, they were replying to emails. They were going out of their way to search up schools outside the Boston district.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a whole process of finding individual teachers and emailing them individually. Mm-hmm. And they did so much work to the point where I was able to actually like relax a bit. Like there would be like a few days where I can not freak out about Empiric, and they'd be like, hey, like it's completely fine. We got this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, like thinking about this, when I told them, hey, put this on your resume, I was like, hey, they did so much work that I want them to be considered a co-founder, because without them, I wouldn't be here today. You know, we wouldn't have our students today. We wouldn't have a great website today. They did very great on helping me with the website. So that's props to them. What else happened? After we've gotten responses from a couple of kids, we started to find people to teach, right? So we needed 3 more people to teach engineering, chemistry, and physics. Mm-hmm. And we did find those people. And those people happened to be loved by the students they have. And it's very obvious because of the feedback forms and how they attend class every week. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, like crazy considering we're in 2020, all of these kids want to gain more than learn. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're coming back every week like shows how much they enjoy the class. So after finding the teachers, our last thing was to reach out to mutual friends. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was the last thing we wanted to do, because we wanted to make sure that we had people that would be accompanied by them. Because, you know, if we reach out to them and they respond, it will be kind of awkward if they're the only ones in the class with the teacher, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's just, in the simplest way possible, that's how everything happened.
So once you got it off the ground, I mean, like all the classes started. So have you noticed any hardships during the classes, or like with getting enough people to fill like one class?
We did not surprisingly find it hard. In the beginning, we were kind of nervous because not many people were responding. But it was simply because we didn't reach out to enough people. There's a statistic that says out of, 100% of the internships you apply for, 85 will like deny you, right? Mm-hmm. So our problem was simply undermining the fact that we needed to reach out to more people rather than a set group of people.
Yeah.
So I think that was the only hardship we've encountered. Mm-hmm. Like having kids come to class was, it was great, no problem.
Mm-hmm. When you first thought of it, did you have a different idea in mind before the pandemic versus during the pandemic? Like, have you noticed any hardships in sort of transforming it from your original vision to what we are in quarantine now?
No, actually, I had wanted this all to be virtual, because I know that if this was held in real life, a lot of the disadvantaged kids would have a problem coming to these classes. So I don't think anything has changed.
Okay. I mean, that worked in your favor, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are your goals for the organization in the future? Do you have any yet?
I want Empiric to at least last through the next academic year. I want to have a session from February to March, because that's when a lot of the summer opportunities open up. And I feel like in terms of internships or programs, a lot of our students would be open to much more, frankly, opportunities simply because the summer is coming out and a lot of the deadlines are a month right after.
So
for now, I'm envisioning us having a second session in February, but ideally, in terms of long term, I want Empiric to be something that is known among schools, especially disadvantaged ones, because I think it's going to be very beneficial for each of the students that attend.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't wait to see where you guys go in the future, because obviously what you're doing is really amazing. So my last question is, where can people find you? So like, this is your time to plug your website, plug your socials, anything.
Okay, so our website is empiricalstudy.org, and our Instagram is empiricalstudy. So Empirical, EMPIRICAL, study. For both Instagram and our website. You can reach out to me individually at CSOKKUNTHEA@gmail.com and just ask about Empiric. That's all we have.
All right. Well, thank you for coming here, Thea. Thank you for talking about your amazing organization. I can't wait to see where you guys go in the future. And to everyone listening, hope to see you next time.